I want to put a few numbers on the screen for you. Come on, let's put that first number up on the screen. In America alone, there are 380,000 churches. 380,000 churches. Within that 380,000, there are 230 million Christians. And in America, I'm just going to paraphrase, there's 329 million people. Which leaves us, I know we're doing math, with 99 million individuals that are not Christians within America. I want to give you another stat. Let's open it up to the world. There are 2.38 billion Christians in the world. But I want you to see this statistic. There are 7 billion people in the world. What does that mean? It's about 5 billion people that do not, one, either call themselves a Christian or know Christ. Yet, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of churches in America and even more around the world, which says a few things to us. The church is important. Yes, and there's something about the church that has made it what it is today. If you ever get a chance to go to different countries and the UK and London and all of, and you get to go to buildings that are hundreds and hundreds of years old, it's something wild that happens when you walk in. Because you're like, man, this building, this church has been around that long. And all of a sudden you come into a revelation. Oh, this just didn't start when I was born. Right? It's even crazier when you go overseas and you see the churches that have been around for thousands. You're like, there's something to this church thing. And that's what I want to talk about, one, in this entire series, but specifically today, I want to talk about the importance of the church, but mainly our relationship to it. If there's so many churches that exist all around the world and even in the world that we live in today, and if it's been going on for so long, and if you're in one right now, what should our relationship be with it? Right? Because we don't just want to wake up every Sunday and just be going because everybody else is doing it. The question is, why? And can I go a little further? Am I doing it right? Is there more to it? And for those that are in here never given your life to Christ, this is going to be a little bit of an expose. Like, this is what it means to be a part of God's church. And so there's a principle I want to give you today that will help us understand what our relationship with the church should be. I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert. I got the answer. Well, what should my relationship be? I got the answer. And there's one principle I want to lift up, and we're going to get to it in just a second. Many of you have been coming to this church from the beginning. And if you've been here for a while, you know we had two beginnings. But we won't go into detail. Just Google it. If you were here in the early days, you've heard me talk about a mentor of mine who would come in and out of the church, especially in the early days. His name was Freddie Hendricks, and Freddie specialized in creating greatness. That's what he did. Specifically, we talk about the next generation, specifically within the hearts of the next generation. He had a way of pulling it out of you when you were 13, 14. And you grow up, and so many individuals on Broadway now, it's wild. I just look at all my friends that we all grew up together in this theater company with him, and I just see them go from Broadway show to Broadway show. I'm like, man, you the lead again? How does this keep happening? Kenan Thompson was with, I mean, you just go down the list. He had a way of bringing greatness out. And many of you know, as I tell you that story, I begged him to mentor me for years. And I won't tell you what I've already told you, but there was one specific aspect that I've not spoken to you about, and it is around songwriting. I'll just say it. Many of you know I wanted to be the Christian Usher. I know, I feel like I don't have to say it, but there are new people. I need to reintroduce it. The nickname was Crusher. It just came. I didn't make it up. It was bestowed upon me. In my Crusher days, I wanted to write songs. And I used to tell Freddie, I'm like, I want to be great. I want to do this, you know, so on and so forth. And he came to me one day and he said to me, Prince. Okay, stop. See y'all. Prince writes 10 songs a day. I said, what? He said, and you know, Stevie Wonder writes 6. And then he said, how many are you writing? I said, well, it might take me a week to get one verse out. I mean, I'm like, I'm surely not writing 10 songs a day. He said, well, you think you could get to one? I said, whoo, Freddie, I'm going to try real hard. He said, well, look, and this is when he said, well, look, if you want to be great, you'll get to one. And then he walked away. I'm like, what? So I started, this is what it looked like. I grabbed that picture off Google because it looked like me. I'm like, I would grab my guitar and I would start to write and write. And it took me a little second. I was like, whoo, took me a week to get a verse. Now I'm getting a verse in 2 days. Okay. Then I went from 2 to 1 day for a verse. We have it. Then I finally, after about 6 months, wrote a song in a day. I said, whoo, I'm getting good. I'm getting good. And I went and spoke to him. I'm like, I did it. He said, it's been a long time. I said, well, I mean, you know, I was trying. And let me tell you the process. For me to write a song, we have any creatives in the room? You're a creative? Anybody know about the creative space? That there are moments when you get into it, it's like, whoo, nothing else is coming out. Right? You just get in the space, you're like, right? And you end up with like half songs and half photos and half everything. It's like, when you go get done with that, I'm coming back to it, right? It's like, and so that's what I, like, that's what I had to do. I had to learn how to push through the block in order to like get something out. And that's like, and I remember talking to a few writers in that time that were with us, and they said, you just gotta go. You gotta push through. I'm like, I don't have anything else. They say, yes, you do. You just gotta push through it. There's a shift that happened in my songwriting days that I believe allowed for me to push through in a greater way. And I define it this way. Come on, put it on the screen. I shifted from including within to building around. I shifted from including within to building around. I shifted from including songs within my life to building around songs. In other words, songwriting for me was an accessory. It was a hobby. It was something I wanted to do that I put in the list of priorities after I finished homework and after I did this and after I did that. It was an option. I added it into my life. But I had to switch to it becoming my life. And instead of me including it songs within my world, I started building my world around songwriter. Anybody ever met, come on, can we go a little deeper? Anybody ever met anybody great at something? Come on, let's do some examples. Venus and Serena, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady. Yeah. Right? Football isn't something that he just adds in. It's who he is. Tennis isn't just something that they're like, oh, we'll go out. Like some of us, anybody play tennis in here? You play? Some of you are like, oh, I'm going to go. And No. They are tennis players. Yeah. And everything else comes second. What am I saying? They got to eat, right? They got to sleep, right? But at some point, it's like, man, is food going to get in the way? I got to get back on the court. It's like, yeah, well, if you don't eat, it's like, oh, do I have to, right? Do I have to sleep? Do I have to? It's because it is so much of who they are, right? And that's what I had to shift from just trying to write and I think I want to be a creative too. No. I am a songwriter and homework and chores and everything else. I got to build that right into it. But that's not number one. This is who I am. And if I'm going to be great at it, I have to become it. Anybody ever remember the old churches? Come on, put that picture on the screen. You know, anybody ever remember, and depending on where you grew up or what church you grew up at, and somebody's like, I never even grew up in church. I'm here. I got you. But depending on where you grew up, anybody remember being in church all day? Yes. Right? You wake up, you go to sunrise service. You stay over a little bit. You go to the gas station, get your little Twinkie, come back for the 11 o'clock service. The spirit breaks out in the 11 o'clock. You still there at 2 o'clock. Then you realize you're hungry. You go downstairs. You get some food. And then you go home. You come back for the revival at night. Right? And then some of you did Sunday school. And then you had something else on Monday. I got to show up for that class. Oh, we got Wednesday night Bible study. Anybody remember being in church all day long? Right? It's like, what in the world? I grew up in I went to a lot of churches. But my dad had a small church off University Avenue. Anybody been to University the Hood? It's the hood. University Avenue is the hood. And it was 20 people in the church on Easter. And we were excited. We said, "Ooh, we got a packed house." Right? If 20 showed up, it was amazing. And I remember we would be in that church all day long. I'm just like, "Ooh, I got to go home. Mom, do we have to stay?" And he was like, "Oh, we're just coming back." Many of us, right? Can we be honest? Like, if we were honest, most of us would say, "Man, that's not how I want to live." Right? When we give those examples, we're shunning it. Right? We're like, "Ooh, I'm glad church ain't like that no more." And please, some of y'all in here right now going, "Ooh, when we getting out?" I just, four worship songs, really? Right? You're like, "I got to go." Now, I was over at this church and they was out in an hour. What's going on with y'all? Oh, y'all praising. I get it. You want to pray, but I got the game. I'm hungry. I didn't eat this morning. Right? Right? It's just some of y'all are in there right now. And so when we talk about the old days, when we're talking about it, it's like, what were they doing? But you know, there was something else happening. That is countercultural to where we are today. Come on. This is a powerful message because it's powerful for me. I was studying this message and I went, "Whoo, Jesus, what are you doing in my heart? What is happening?" Because I'm like you. I was the one going, "I got to get up out of church." Yeah. And then I started thinking about it and I asked this question. What made them stay in church all day? What made them? Right, to the point to where you like, "I gotta go." They're like, "No, we gotta get back to church. It's something we can't miss revival tonight." Good. And I'll be like, "Revival? Yeah. Didn't we pray enough? What is happening?" I'm like, "What was happening?" It's because they shifted from including within. to building around. Church wasn't just something they did. It was who they were, and everything else came second. There was a revelation that happened.
Yes, sir.
That I need to be in the church.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Good. Good. Good.
Now, I know this message is hard for some people. I get it. But this is what I felt the Lord gave me. And I want to say that I feel the Spirit of the Lord in our country today wanting to shift us from consumerism to the kingdom. And I know somebody's going, what are you? I'm going to show you in scripture. Because when we think about the Western church today and where we live, if we were to just be honest, we have built our churches around consumerism. I'll tell you this. I've been in meetings that said, don't do that long. They ain't stand for that. That ain't. They got somewhere to be. They got somewhere to go. And you start going, you're in meetings. You're going, yeah, I guess they do. Football is happening. Right? I got the recitals. There's other things. And I'm not coming down on any of that. I'm just trying to point some things out to us. That there was something in the early church that we've lost in the church today. And I thoroughly believe it's because of a lack of revelation. Not just for you, for me too. Can I put this on the screen? Here's my principle for today. We must shift from including the church within our lives to building our lives around the church. I'm going to say it again. We must shift from including the church within our lives to building our lives around the church. And let me tell you why. There's so many things I'm going to get to in just a second, because I got a list of things I want to give you, because there has to be a shift in revelation. When you do this, not only does it build God's church, but something changes in you. There's something that you get out of this that I can guarantee, if you are not building your life around the church as opposed to just, let's just go to church on Sunday. I got other things to do. If you're not doing that, you're missing out on some things.
Yes.
In other words, here's what I'm saying. If you were to do this, and this looks different for everybody. If you were to do this, then I'm saying there's some things that would be unlocked in you. Your life will change. It will be different. I want to give a few more examples and I'm done before I go to the why, because I'm going to prove it to you today. That this is actually the will of God. I'm going to prove it to you today that this will change your life. I'm going to prove it. But has anybody ever met Christians in today that it's like all they do is like they just it's almost as if they're saying, I'll die for the church. You ever met anybody like that? I have. And they always shock me. I'm always like, what are you doing? And they're like, ooh, I got to get back to church. You ever met somebody that's serving all day long? And they got jobs. They got kids, but it's like, I got to be here. I'm all in. It's like they bleed. They, for the church. They cry for the church. They take off work early for the church. They rearrange things for the church. And it's like, what is going on? I've met people like that. And I'll be honest. I'm like, what is wrong with you? But I realize they know something I don't.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this is what I want to get to us today. We're talking about building the church. Why should we build our lives around it? Here's the four reasons. Put it on the screen for me. One, it's God's plan A. It's God's plan A. Two, it's why we exist. Why are you here? To build his church. Don't worry, I'm going to prove it. Three, it changes the world. Why should you build your life around? It's God's plan A. It's why you exist. It changes the world. And here's the biggest one, because I need us to see this. This is going to hit a lot of us hard. It's modeled for us. It's God's plan A. Come on, put that scripture up on the screen. Can we have a little study? Because I think this is important. When Jesus came to the region of that, I can barely see. He asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Come on, I want you to see this. Come on, you came to church to learn. You came to church to grow. You came. Come on, we're going to grow today. He says, upon this rock. What's the rock? The revelation that I am the Son of God. And he says this. I'm getting passionate. This is what I will build my church on. This revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, and upon this rock, I will build my church. This is a declaration. This is an announcement from the Son of the living God that this is the plan. This is it. Why am I here? To build the church upon this rock. What am I trying to get you? I'm trying to get you to understand. Come on, let's move our Western civilization minds to the side. Let's move our American minds to the side. Let's take down the filter of what we have believed the church to be, and let's see it as something that Jesus created. This is his plan. You are living and sitting in something today that he ordained. This is eternal. This is divine. Yes. And he has invited us into it. Why would we not build our lives around it? This is why you exist. Come on, let's go to the second reason. Next slide. It's why we exist. I'm doing review. But I want to make sure we get it. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I need us to get it. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. The rock is the revelation that I am the Son of God, sent to save the lost. He doubles back after he dies and rises again. He shows up and he's having a moment with the disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, because this has happened, you go do this. This is an instruction, not just to the disciples or the apostles. This is an instruction to you. Yeah. Is this okay? I'm about to lose my mind. This is an instruction to you, not just the disciples. Why do we exist? Why do we exist? To build his church. That's why you exist. And here's what I'm trying to say. When you build your life around it, everything else in your life lines up. This is why this is important, because many of us have been searching. How come the dots are not connecting for me? How come my relationships are not connecting for me? How come my money is not connecting? How come my state of being is off? Why do I have anxiety all the time? Why am I depressed? Why am I not happy? Where is freedom?
Come on now.
Have you built your life?
Yeah.
Around his church. Because it is the reason you exist. The scriptures tell us clearly that when we do this, everything else will be added. When we align to, what does it mean to build his church? What does the church do? Come on, put this on the screen. Next slide. The church exists to save souls, make disciples. To save souls and make disciples. Let me tell you why this is difficult for us to build our life around. Because it's not as fancy as winning a Grammy. It's not as fancy as getting a promotion. Come on. It's not as fancy as going, whoo, the stock market, I just killed. Oh, I'm a million. It's not fancy. So what happens is, can we be a little honest today? What happens is that we go after the shiny thing first before we go after this. And this is what he's called us to. He ain't called you to be a millionaire. He didn't call you to win a Grammy. He didn't call you to get a book deal. He called you first. I'm not saying those things aren't in his plan. I'm saying, can we put it in the right order? What he's called you to do above all is save souls and make disciples. Why is this important? Because do you remember your life without Jesus? Come on, do you remember? You were lost in your sin. You didn't understand what was going. Can we go look? Your eternity was not secure. You were headed towards destruction.
Yeah.
And then Jesus showed up.
Yeah. Yes.
He showed up.
Yeah.
And he rescued you.
Yeah.
And he saved your marriage.
Yeah.
He restored your divorce.
Yeah.
He took those things that happened to you when you were a kid. Come on. And he healed you. From what somebody did to you behind a back door. God, he came in. He took the addiction away. That's what he did. Come on. I know so many millionaires that would give the millions back for peace. What does that mean? That means that this is everything.
Yeah.
This is everything. And the reason you've been called to it first is because there are people all, come on, 5 billion. Woo! 5 billion people that do not have what you have.
Oh, God.
That has changed you.
Yes.
Come on, you ever seen a life restored in Christ?
Yes.
You ever seen somebody raised from the dead? In their soul, in their mind. You ever seen the lost found? Come on, I needed to grab our hearts because the American version of Christianity has made it a little weak for us. But if we can get connected to the ancient, come on, the power of the gospel, it'll change our life. It'll change our world. Come on, take me to the next reason. Next slide. It changes the world.
Yeah.
Come on, let's read this. You are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Woo, I'm so excited. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, listen to this. Listen, this is an instruction for let your light shine. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Come on, we start to build our lives around building his church.
My God.
And the world changes. What would happen if we had a city of believers that let their light shine? What would happen to the world if the beauty that's on it? Come on, I need an example because you're like, what am I talking? Have you ever met somebody that's letting their light shine? You came in depressed. You left them with joy. You came in not believing in yourself and you left with belief. Come on, I've had people stare me in the eyes and say, you can do it. You will do it. I know what they said, but what God says about you. Come on, I've had people scream that into my soul until I believed it. And I got more confident and I believed in myself and God. And I'm on the stage today because I had people let their light shine. And God wants you to be that for somebody else. But that only happens when you build your life around the church. Because you know what happens when we don't? We start to drift. And all of a sudden, the season when we were so excited and confident about sharing our faith, we just start to drift. We start to worry about other things. And God is like tapping on your shoulder. Hey, 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 what happened to, like somebody needs you. Come on, your neighbor next door is dying before your eyes and you worried about the next, come on, you worried about this, your next promotion and your neighbor is dying. Your cousin is dying. Your brother is dying. Your sister is suffering. Lost in their sin, lost in their own world, a victim of the darkness because they've not accepted Jesus. And because they haven't accepted Jesus, they don't have power over it.
My God.
You know why for some of you it's easy to stay out of the darkness? Because you gave your life to Jesus. You got power over sin. You got power over darkness. You think it's just your willpower? No, no. This is the Spirit showing up. When the enemy tries to ensnare you and keep you in the Spirit, they off limits. This is what happens when we build our life around the church. It changes the world. And last but not least, I'm going to invite Bryce back to join me. Next slide. Why should we build our life? Because it is modeled for us. You know, I think for me, the greatest revelation, because I knew about some things before, right? If we were to be honest, many of us, we've heard those scriptures, but these scriptures and these passages came to life in a new way for me when I started to understand the actual model that God created for his church. Listen, God's all about the lights. He's all about the sound. He's all about the worship. He's all about it. Come on, if we can't party for Jesus, where can we party? He's all about that. But you know, the fancy venues and the lights and the great music isn't the foundation of his church. That's not what he created it to be. All of those other things are enhancements. That's why it's amazing. But can I know I'm sorry, I'm messing with us today. But you know, we like that stuff because we're in America. So what happened is we went to Drake's concert and we was like, dang, right? You went to a show and it was like, that's what I like. So we gravitate towards that because we like it. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's an enhancement. It's not the foundation. And I think what has happened to us in this country, and for many of us, and listen, I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me. I am talking about me. What has happened to us is that we have drifted towards the enhancement and forgot about the foundation. And that's why when we say, hey, let's serve together somewhere, it's like, that's what, hey, let's break bread. Let's build our life around the church. It's like, I got the kids getting out of school and I'll see if I can make it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the approach and the thought. Let me show you what the early church did, because this is the purest version of God's church. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. Come on, this is the early church. This is the beginning of God's church. He's building it. What we're sitting in today, this is where it started. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here's the part. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Here it is. Come on, let's receive these words in our heart and our soul. Come on, I'm not taking away your Grammys. I'm not taking away your Netflix. I'm not taking away your Hulu. I'm not taking away your Drake concert, even though I can't endorse that in church. I'm not taking away your fun. I just want you to reorient. But listen to this. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Come on, anytime something is repeated in scripture, God is like, I want you to, don't forget this. He said it twice. And they added to their number. And they added to their number. Somebody's going, a small church is supposed to exist. Yeah, well, I mean, any church, but God expects it to grow. They added to their number daily. But the biggest piece that I want you to see here that helps us is when it says they broke bread in their homes. So let's talk about this for a second. This isn't in the scripture. The only way you can discover what I'm about to say is you got to get involved in church history. Right? Because I know everything, all the details aren't in the Bible. I'm sorry. That's why sometimes it's so difficult to understand. Because to really get an understanding of what they're saying, you got to study. You got to go, okay, what was happening in that culture in that time for Jesus to say this? There's things, everything. But here's what you have to understand. The early church happened in houses. Almost several centuries before buildings. It was like 20 people a house. That's what they meant. And the house churches were next to one another. So what would happen is, because when you read this, you go, okay, they sold everything. They kept giving everybody, but just like, if they sold everything, then how did they keep giving everybody what they needed? Like, because then they just run out, right? They still had jobs. But you know what they would do? They would go to their job in the day and they would meet at night. in these houses. In other words, and they had little simple jobs, you know. They couldn't work at Google or Apple. They didn't have that. It was like, let me go make a chair, right? Let me do, that's what they did. And you know what they would do? They would go make stuff, make money, and then they meet at night and share. But the priority, listen, wasn't making chairs. They said, I gotta go make the chair so I can come back. Because this is God's plan A. This is why I exist. And we gotta add to this number daily. Their priorities were different. Didn't mean they didn't accomplish. It didn't mean that they didn't make money. They had to. You can't do church without resource. We know that. They said they was breaking bread. How'd they get food? They had money. But their focus wasn't that. It was, I need to do this so I can do this. We'll get into the nuances later as we talk about a greater story and your unique purpose in the earth tied to the church. But before we can get to that, we got to get the foundation right. I want to leave you with this statement. We said it, but I don't want you to forget it. We must shift from including the church within our lives to building our lives around the church. So here's my takeaway as we leave. I know somebody's like, "Ooh, I had to go, but I did not feel like I could." That's right. I'm just kidding. Very simple. Let's plug in with one another. Very simple. Let's plug in. Come on, you call this church home. Plug in. If it's not here, my message isn't come to Story Church. Plug into a church and build your entire life around it. What does that mean? Let's prioritize when we get together. Let's show up on Sunday. I know we got stuff to do, but let's show up with excitement. Let's bring somebody with us. Right? Let's think about the other things we have to do. And instead of going, I'm going to fit church into this, let's fit it into church. And I'm gonna go selfish for a second, because sometimes that's the only way it lands for us. 100% it will build God's kingdom, because that's his plan A. But guess what? It will change your life. Because the Bible says it. You put his kingdom first, he will work everything else out. He will work it out. God, I got these dreams. Yep, let's put this first. I got that. You get me? I got you. I got to take care of my family. Let's get this right. And I got you. Come on, let's stand all around. Oh, come on, let's close our eyes. God, I pray that in a hard message for some of us, I know even for me, would you let us take it in? God, you know exactly what we need to do and what we don't. Let us be wise in our decisions. Don't let us just take it at face value and say, well, I'm quitting my job. Don't let us do that. Let us be wise and let us ask you about our priorities. And God, would you help us shift our priorities so that you become the first, the middle, the last, that we, and we build our life around it. God, give us a burden for the church. Give us a burden for the lost. Teach us how to serve. Teach us how to live. Teach us how to care for others, that they find the rest that we find in you. God, and if we've not found the rest yet, would you let us plug in more that we would find that rest? Yes. I pray for all the marriages in the room and the families in the room. God, that as they continue to plug into you more, not just the institution of church, but your kingdom, that their marriage would get better. Their families would be stronger. And they find rest in your arms.